All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. We're excited to have everyone back here. And man, we have another killer episode in the heat of this fantastic market cycle that we're in. If you can't tell, I got a little bit of extra pep in my step today. But how can you not when the market is performing the way that it is right now? We're not just talking about prices. We're talking about overall adoption and really any kind of performance metric that you can look at. Crypto market is just absolutely booming. So we're hyped up. And of course, we're going to have another awesome interview. We got Phil Mataris. He's the founder of RIO with us here today. Phil, welcome. And it's good to have you.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Brendan. Looking forward to chat with you guys.
Absolutely. Well, man, today we get to talk about permanent cloud networks and solutions along those lines. It's a really fascinating title. You know, we've had a lot of people on lately and they want to talk about the ETFs and they want to talk about tokenization and stable coins. And so this is a nice mix up from that where we get back to the core of how blockchain is being used in different ways. So we're really excited for it. Before we even kick this off, can you just walk us through a little bit about yourself and what got you interested and involved in this space in the first place?
Yeah, happy to. So, you know, my background has always been in computers and in IT specifically. You know, I was an enterprise architect for a big four, you know, audit and accounting firm, you know, doing all kinds of things in the cloud, on premises, building all kinds of, you know, off the shelf systems or custom, did a lot of stuff with Microsoft. Yeah, I had kind of discovered Ethereum and Bitcoin maybe in 2017. I saw that there was this Ethereum Microsoft Alliance or Foundation or something. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. And because, you know, I was dealing with a lot of infrastructure was kind of, you know, one of my focus areas. I was like, hey, maybe I should take part in this, you know, world computer and get my hands on it. And, you know, so I mined Ethereum for a while. I went down that rabbit hole. You know, I started on the utility side. Of course, like you said before on like the financial aspects, you know, I went down that side too and, you know, had a lot of fun, made a lot of mistakes, right? But ultimately this concept of, you know, distributed, permissionless, open technology really, you know, scratched so many itches. You know, I'd grown up, obviously, most of my life on the internet being a millennial. And, you know, I'd seen so many technologies change, so many things come and go. Links die, things go away. And, you know, this concept of, you know, a world computer really, you know, was super interesting to me. And that ultimately led me to finding RWE, which was really this blockchain built for storing data. And that, again, grew on me and really changed my whole perspective on networks and on storage and keeping things for really, really long periods of time. And just flipping this whole model of subscribing for something and kind of renting your data to owning it and just paying one time. So it's been quite a journey to ultimately get where I am now, but all kind of shifted once I really discovered blockchain and kind of left that previous career. And I think it was 2020 when I, you know, founded Permanent Data Solutions, which is now the company that's building the protocols and, you know, the infrastructure for this decentralized network we call RIO.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify.
So, you know, you touched on this a little bit, but going back to like the core mission, like what would you say the core mission of RIO is?
Yeah. So, you know, the core mission that I started with way back, you know, again, when I quit my job was really to take this concept of permanent storage, you know, this kind of magical thing that, you know, Arweave network provides, take this permanent storage and get it into the hands of everyone. And that was like, I don't know how that just, that struck me like early on. It was like, this is what I wanted to do. And I started that mission with a retail app called RDrive, which is this Web3 Dropbox that's just super easy to use, intuitive, leverages this this network, Arweave, to just store anything, store any personal, public, private data. And through that journey, you know, we really discovered that we needed to really go beyond just making an app to get permanent storage into the hands of everyone. And we saw some opportunities on the infrastructure side of Arweave, right? Arweave is really built to store data. It's a layer one blockchain. And you know, we saw the needs for apps like RDrive to do more than just store data, right? It had to access it really fast. It had to use an index or query to find the data. It had to, you know, application and the assets itself needed a place to be hosted. So we saw the need to really build more on top of this storage layer. And that's where, you know, this mission of getting permanent storage into the hands of everyone really turned into making, you know, this permanent cloud network, right? A decentralized infrastructure layer that really makes it easy for anyone to store, access, verify, index, query, you know, name any data on Arweave, right? Any data that is immutable, and persistent and replicated around this network. And again, Arweave, it works a little bit differently than other storage platforms, right? You pay once to store your data forever. So I'm not sure, Brendan, if you've heard of Arweave before or should
I? Familiar.
You have, right? So it's simple model. You pay a bunch, you know, you pay more to own that storage, right? For 200 plus years. It goes into a protocolized endowment, and it pays the miners to replicate that data. So we built this network on top of that fundamental primitive of permanent storage. And it's like AWS or Google Cloud, right? It gives developers easy tools and services for doing all kinds of things, right? Uploading your data, you know, routing it, retrieving it, querying it. RIO does all those, many of those same things, right? But instead of going through a single provider, single region, location, we have a decentralized network of independent gateways or nodes instead of those big centralized hyperscalers, right? So now this mission of getting permanent permanent data storage into the hands of everyone now has expanded to networks of gateway operators who are, servicing servicing this new web, really, a web that we've been calling the permaweb. Because ultimately, every piece of information can't be tampered with, can't be taken down and lives forever. And I think for me, again, this mission of like keeping things forever, building an internet that doesn't forget, really, hits me to my core, because I grew up, seeing pages go away. Now we're seeing governments wiping data, we're seeing companies go away and that data becoming an asset. So this mission of permanent storage really expands to just a permanent web, right? Where it's, securing knowledge, our identities, all these different things, moving them from centralized services to these kinds of decentralized networks. So I think it's a big mission, and one's been, 5 years in the making so far, but really excited and, wake up every day really enjoying getting it out there.
No, absolutely. This idea of using blockchain for storage is definitely something that has been built upon over the last, I want to say like half a decade now, especially. It's been growing and growing for a lot of the points that you mentioned. And I want to go through a bit of a lightning round so that the audience here can understand just at a very high level what some of those core quick differences are and how blockchain is not only like different, especially like ARIO or RIO, and how it's different, but how it's actually in a lot of ways, like I think blockchain is just flat out superior. I'm sure you would probably be, biasly agree with me. Maybe we're both biased in that sense. But let's go through a bit of a lightning round here. So let's talk about, let's make the first metric price, right? How does price compare? You touched on this a little bit. If you're going to go and use, say, Google Cloud, which I want to talk about here in a little bit for different reasons. They've had some issues here lately. But we're just going to talk, Dropbox, Google Cloud, something like that. How does price compare?
So the pricing depends on what service you're leveraging, right? So I mentioned storage is one of the key primitives of Arweave and of the RIO network, and one of the building blocks that you make all of your apps on top of, right? Maybe for AWS, it's like S3, right? S3 is that building block on AWS that AWS itself makes their services on top of, as well as sells it to customers. There's no doubt that permanent storage is a premium product, right? You could go to, I think it's prices.rdrive.io or arfees.ar.io. You basically pay per byte, right? So it's pay as you go and pay for the amount you want. It's probably around, $20 or so a gigabyte. That price is set by the Arweave network of miners. So it's not driven by a central Oracle or a single team that's controlling that price. It's based on the market and the miners. And now that is, securing that information for 200 plus years. And that's based on what's called the Krieger effect. Basically, prices of hard drives are falling, right? For various different reasons. So as long as that continues to happen, paying into this endowment should pay for that storage for a very long period of time. So now, I don't know off the top of my head what that breaking point is. If you look at something like S3, there's so many different tiers with all different access levels. That's another big thing you have to consider. It's not just storing, but accessing that data. The RIO network has a free tier of access for all data. And we're working through, more advanced tiers where, if you want to consume a lot, maybe there's an additional fee that has to be paid. But for that free level of access, if you compare it to S3's Glacier, which maybe you can only access that file once a year and it takes a long time, you might have a very long break-even point. If you compare it to some of like the hottest tier storage, things that are very fast, maybe the break-even point is, 7-10 years, maybe a little bit longer. What we've found is pricing and that, if you just compare those two things in a vacuum, pretty difficult, because you do get immutability, provenance, distribution, resilience on that data. So it's, there's a lot of things you get on the permanent side that you don't necessarily just get from something like S3. So that's maybe price of of storage specifically. There's also things like domain names. So you can buy a domain name on the Arweave name system, which is a name system that the REO network provides. You could buy, you know, a 12 character name for, I think, $10 or $15. That's very comparable to, you know, typical domain names that you see now. And the renewal fees are also, you know, very small in the order of magnitude of a couple dollars. You can also permanently purchase a domain name. Something like that is not even possible on, you know, current domain registrars. So I think it's, yeah, comparing prices, you have to take into account some of the benefits that you get on the decentralized side, because it is more of a premium. And if you don't need those other things, it's maybe a harder sell, right, on price alone. I don't know if it wasn't so lightning, but.
No, but I think it was all good content. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal here. You know, next lightning round question, what about security? You know, security of, you know, centralized cloud storage versus decentralized and what you're working on.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple aspects of that. So one, what we're working on is a public blockchain, right? Arweave is public by default. And that's to ensure, you know, the maximal spread of that information. So when it comes to privacy or security around that, that has to be implemented on the client side. So if you are an organization that really needs a tight firewall around your data and services using a public blockchain network, it's just inherently more difficult, right? Without adding other things to manage your secrets or token gate assets. So that's you know, a huge consideration. But another, you know, big consideration is once data is stored on this network, it can't be tampered with, right? It can't be hijacked or taken away or crypto locked and held ransom for Bitcoin or something. So that's a really important security aspect that, you know, maybe you could achieve in traditional clouds with a whole lot of other measures to support that. Right. And I would know, I used to work at a company that had a million security requirements to protect data versus if you store that data in a place that can't ever be changed, it might actually lessen some of your security overhead.
You know, speaking of security, I know that that recent Google Cloud outage, at the time of people listening this, it'll probably have been, you know, maybe a month or two ago. What does that reveal about our overdependence on centralized infrastructure?
I mean, whether it's like an outage or like the 23andMe thing where they were, you know, they were going bankrupt and their data was all for sale. You know, these are like, for me, they're like wake up calls. I feel like they should be wake up calls for other people, right? It's not going to be the last one. It's not going to be the last outage, right? They happen. When Google Cloud goes down, when like Hyperscaler goes down, entire businesses can grind to a halt. Right, whether the business themselves is using Google or maybe they're using some other service that's using Google or AWS, that, you know, that the business could, you know, effectively stop doing business or end up spending more money, right? Data could disappear, websites can go offline, payments could fail, apps might stop working. So a lot of times fallbacks aren't really built in for that, like, because it's expensive. It's expensive to build an app to work across different clouds and have that level of resiliency. So everyone just trusts a single provider. So it really shows you like, yeah, these single providers can be, can have really great uptime, but it shows how fragile, you know, these centralized clouds can really be, right? There's convenience that's associated with it, but you know, it's convenient until it's not. And when it breaks, it really breaks hard. So we don't just need better uptime, we need better resilience. Right, we need infrastructure that can survive outages. We need apps that are built to be able to use that infrastructure to survive those outages. That outage might even be censorship, right? That's something that happens at a platform and individual level. And that's really exactly why decentralized networks, blockchains, right? Networks like RIO, Arweave, it's exactly why we're built for. So it's, you know, sure, they could be a plan B, but we're really trying to make it like, it should be your plan A for this kind of information where it really makes sense to store it.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely is a bit of a wake-up call. And you said, you know, businesses come and they grind to a halt off this stuff. You know, we were impacted by this. We are having calls and talking to, you know, clients and customers in our community and everything. You know, all of us came grinding to a halt because we were trying to use a number of these different platforms that were using Google Cloud. And all of us came to a halt and we're like, we can't do anything. And we're kind of powerless. You know, we can't do anything to fix this, and everything does just come grinding to a halt. So it is a bit of a wake-up call, you know. Yet despite of that, I've seen you say, you know, the biggest risk isn't necessarily downtime, but it's permanent data loss. Can you explain that a little bit further, and I guess what that means?
Yeah, so, you know, downtime, outages, definitely a big risk.
Yeah.
But that's hopefully temporary. Mm-hmm. Right. So hopefully the thing system comes back online.
Yeah.
Once data is gone, it's gone forever. That kind of thing. So, you know, this modern cloud model, it's not built for permanence. The internet is not really built for permanence. Sure, some stuff that you upload or pages might stay there for a really long time, or people might download, or famous people, they put content online. It's just people are going to download it, and it's, you know, permanent from maybe that perspective. But the internet, it's more built. These cloud providers are more built for just recurring revenue. So if you stop paying your bill, you know, or if your storage provider changes their terms or has one of these catastrophic failures, you know, your data could be deleted. And that's kind of normal. I think you normalize that a little in Web 2. And I think it's, again, it's okay for some pieces of information. But I think the danger is that we're treating maybe impermanent storage like it's permanent. You know, people might just assume that, you know, those mistakes, those accidents don't happen. But you look at things like, you know, I've seen so much link rot, right? Content loss, you know, link rot in general, it's, I really botch these stats all the time, right? But it's like 30-40% of the internet now is really suffering from link rot, not just web pages, but like journals, legal documents. So it's like not just content loss, but like, reference, the loss of referencing, or, you know, almost misattributed history, right? So I think these are kind of these downstream effects of, you know, data just getting deleted, right? Assuming the cloud is kind of this archive when it's can be in some cases, but it's not in others. So again, our model, we try to flip that. You pay once and it's there forever. It can't be changed. It's just a different mindset. It's a commitment to storing that information, storing who uploaded it, when, right? These timestamps that also can't be changed. And that you get the provenance now, this, you know, also that can't be changed going back to that source. So it just goes beyond high availability and you know, data permanence. But yeah, and again, downtime, it can come back on, but these things, you know, you just don't get when you're kind of using this current non-permanent cloud model.
You know, do you think that permanent data storage is economically sustainable? I know we talked about pricing and how this works on the back end, but, you know, I was just thinking about that question. Like, how does that fit in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge question, right? And it's something that we try to ensure not just the permanent data storage is sustainable, but the other services at the RIO network provide. So when you look at the economics of storing the data, and this is, I think, one of the benefits about Arweave is that it's hyper-focused on just that, storing and replicating data. It's not, you know, there's no smart contract platform, or there's no permanent, and, you know, and there's some temporary storage thing. It's just laser-focused on that. And like what I was saying, you know, before, the, you know, the core team, for research, the team that developed the Arweave protocol tried to be really conservative with the fees, with the amount that you pay into that endowment. So as long as hard drive costs continue to come down, that sustainability aspect should continue to hold. Now, if you were to look at the price of permanent storage now, you know, it's not like the price has just, oh, it's been up here and it's just continually going down. That's because the network, obviously, Arweave network launched 8 years ago. Some of the protocol has changed. Miners are still, you know, still in adoption mode. So that's one important thing to keep in mind. And again, we tried to follow that similar model with the REO network and, for example, purchasing a permanent RNS name, right? We wanted to make sure that paying into the REO network protocol endowment covers the cost of resolving and serving that name for 200 plus years. We also have leasing models, right? We also recognize that some users might not want the permanence, right? They might not need it. We're looking at other ways for gateway operators to also earn fees for the access side, right? For other, you know, indexing or querying services. Because again, apps, they do more than just storage or just domain names. So we want to make sure, you know, the system is completely sustainable from the perspective of it doesn't need a single centralized party to sustain it or subsidize it, so on and so forth. So we still have a ways to go to make sure all of those incentives are there. But yeah, that's, you know, we want to make this real. We're not, we're not trying to fall back to just needing hyperscalers to make the thing work in the future.
Yeah, no, for sure. What does the regulation for this space look like? You know, in different parts of crypto, you know, I know in the past, DeFi has been pretty harshly regulated. Now we're starting to see that free up. But on this side of the crypto scene, what does regulation look like? You know, is the U.S. government strict on this? Can U.S. companies openly use this stuff as their dedicated storage? Or is that something that might be, you know, I don't know, restricted at the moment?
Yeah. We've talked to a lot of different teams, companies in different jurisdictions. Ultimately, there's still so much gray area with all this, right? Generally speaking, U.S. companies can use permanent storage, whether that's protocols like Arweave or REO, especially if it's public, non-sensitive content. For example, Meta was leveraging, you know, the REO network's uploading services back when they were using Instagram for their NFTs. So they were, you know, taking NFTs, which might have contained PII, you know, pictures of people, and upload them through our layer two, you know, it's called a bundling service, through our layer two service to make sure you can, you know, upload things at scale and settle them on our Arweave. So that was a very concrete case of the US, you know, Fortune whatever company using our network. And there have been other examples of that specifically for NFTs or audit logs or other, you know, AI related data. But yeah, as long as it can be, or as long as the company wants to store it permanently, I think it fits. Now, I think it's important to understand that it's this double-edged sword though, right? Like from a compliance perspective, because you can't just delete something. It's permanent. No single person miner can delete it. So if the law changes, or if the customer requests it, right, there's limited things you can do on behalf of getting the network to delete it. So again, that could be a pro, but that could also be a con. Now, from the perspective of, you know, moderating content, which you could see as the same as maybe deleting. If you can't access something, is that the same as it being deleted? I don't know. But, you know, the Arweave network and REO network go by this democratic content moderation system. Basically, each node in the network gets to choose what they want to store or what they want to serve. The incentives for both the REO network and the Arweave network go against you in that case, right? Arweave, you have to prove access, that you have access to any historical data in order to get the incentive. RNS, you need to, the network is actually observing all of the RNS names that are out there. So if you're not serving a specific name because some reason, you won't get, you know, the reward for that day. So the incentives don't have any moderation. They want everything to be permanent, but each node can decide. So if you are in a jurisdiction or if you are a company running your own node or gateway, you cannot serve that data out to your user base, but they can always go to a different part of the network to still, you know, get that access. So in our, you know, my view, I think maybe, you know, regulation will eventually catch up, you know, they'll catch up to the laws maybe around this. They'll catch up to the value of this immutable tamper-proof layer that can store records and, you know, all kinds of information. I think government agencies are already exploring blockchains, right, for audit trails and record keeping. So I think it's only a matter of time, right? The trend is heading in our direction. We just, you know, I just hope that there's thoughtful enough people who are making decisions. And yeah, when compliance does come, it's something that we can actually meet and make into reality.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah. No, I mean, you make a good point. You know, this is definitely a more permanent solution, which can be a double-edged sword. You know, this isn't one of those things where you're like, oh, man, I tweeted that out in a fit of rage, or I was a little bit overexcited, or maybe I was angry. And, you know, you can't go back and edit it. You can't go back and take it down.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this is a little bit different with data storage and stuff like that, but the same concept still applies. You got to be a little bit more careful about about what you're putting out there. Have you had any, like, I don't know if funny is not the right word, but, you know, maybe like funny or just crazy stories like that where people have come to you and been like, hey, man, we messed up. We accidentally put the wrong thing out there.
So probably the stories I could say here, Brendan, would maybe be different than the stories I could say, you know, if we were coffee or something. Let's maybe put it, you know, this way. There's been maybe some cases of Digital Rights Millennium Act, whatever, DMCA takedown requests. You know, someone uploaded a mobile game. So a mobile game developer, you know, because we are running rweave.net, we're operating it you know, as kind of this community good for the whole ecosystem. Because we're running that, you know, we're operating one of the gateways. So you know, we get some of these requests. So it was a, you know, this old mobile RPG game. I never heard of it, but I guess someone uploaded the file. So that was interesting. There's lots of like spam websites that people, you know, try to take advantage of, I guess, networks like ours to upload a fake outlook.com to try to get your password email. So, you know, that's always interesting to see the level that people go through to scam other people. There was a case when, let's see if I could,
Don't get yourself in trouble here.
Let's see if I could summarize. There was a case where someone's trying to blackmail somebody else with some, in video game pictures or something. And it was like, seemed like some weird social thing. And so like, you know, it does happen. right. And again, we're building systems to make sure, this content moderation aspect is something that's feasible for gateway operators to do. So, this is not the side of the business where I was like, oh yeah, I was excited to get into this, but, you know, we're dealing with, you know, freedom on cyberspace. Right. So this is obviously going to come up when people really try to see how they can use it.
Well, yeah, you know, and then here's the thing, that kind of stuff, it's going to happen in centralized. They're going to, you know, maybe people hear that and like, oh my goodness, guys, you know, stuff's going to happen, whether it's centralized, decentralized, there's always going to be scenarios But you look at this and what it's able to do, and there's so many pros in comparison to the cons. There's a lot of great stuff that goes into this. You know, speaking of great stuff and kind of being a little bit more forward looking, I did see that RIO is being increasingly used more frequently when it comes to AI companies. What role do you play in supporting those efforts? Because I think a lot of people look at it and they say, oh, well, they need computational power, and they might look at Render, and they might look at CoreWeave or Akash or some of those other players, or maybe just like NVIDIA, right, or AMD. What role do you all play in the process of AI?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that compute is a humongous part of it, of AI. And it's kind of, again, crazy to think that we ended up in this position where we're providing, in my opinion, where permanent storage can provide this really strong foundational layer for AI infrastructure, right? And that was not something like, you know, I quit my job in 2020. You know, AI, we're calling it machine learning back then, right? I did not envision that this would be such a strong use case, right? Because AI systems are really, they're only as good as their training data and the context that they're getting, right? So that means the integrity of that data, the provenance of it, the accessibility of it is like super important. We can train a bunch of stuff now, right? If we lose that context or where the data was trained from, then it's kind of hard to know, like, well, these are just answers, right? We don't know like any of the history from it. So, you know, RIO supports AI builders, I think in a few different ways, maybe, right? Whether it's for storing immutable models themselves, mutable LLMs, I've used R Drive myself to just upload, you know, all different LLMs like Llama 3 or Qwen 32B, you know, it's, you can upload 10, 20, 30 gig files, right? So it's easy to drop LLMs on there. It's easy to now be able to take your data sets and put them on there. Now you have, you know, this kind of audit proof training data set, whether that's synthetic or real data. Any of the outputs or the audit logs or the decisions that the AI makes in that process could also be stored, right? And now you end up getting kind of this censorship resistant memory for your agents or their workflows. So we're seeing a lot of different teams, big and small, leveraging it for really the long-term storage of, you know, these high value data sets or model versions, knowing that they could retrieve it and then verify that it's the same data that was uploaded previously, right? And with our gateway network, with RIO, you get fast multi-source access to that data, not just through one single spot. You know, I think we have 500-600 gateways that are on the network, all providing access to, you know, indexing, querying access to this data. So I think that's, you know, that's really critical now, because we're living in this world where, you know, the source can be manipulated. AIs, they're hallucinating already. So if we don't have dependable data, I think it's going to be a crazier and crazier place. So I think we're not just supporting AI use cases, we're actively building for them. But we're also not, you know, we don't consider ourselves an AI company. We've yet to make that full pivot. I think this is just one of the many really strong use cases. Certainly embracing it, and certainly trying to educate people on why, you know, immutable provenant, you know, systems like ours is just really good for safe AI development.
You know, well, beyond this, where do you see the biggest need, or maybe even the most use so far? Because there are so many different use cases. You know, when we just look at flat file storage, we can see this used for, you know, like you said, sites, applications, AI, oracles, yep, blockchain data, gaming, social platforms. The list goes on. I guess this is kind of a two-sided question of, where do you see the biggest need for this, and what is actively using this the most?
You just hit like all the biggest, maybe like sectors. Uh-huh. I think if you look at maybe the current biggest by volume, in terms of like number of pieces of information uploaded, I would say it's more in the DeFi and Oracle's space. We have teams like Redstone that, they're an Oracle for smart contracts and other, you know, DeFi platforms. They're settling billions of data items, month over month. And then, teams are leveraging this information in their smart contracts or in their systems, whether it's for pricing or other, Oracle data. We have teams like Kive. They're like an archival platform that are taking other blockchains and archiving different parts of the chain or states that that chain can no longer support and fund, right? It's more expensive for a given chain to maintain that entire history than to take, a portion of it and have that settle onto our weave. So I think kind of that DeFi Oracle space, there's, by volume, I think there's a lot of that. Certainly, from a maybe creative work publishing NFT aspect, I think that was always one of the earliest bigger use cases that really stuck since, 2020, 2021. Once NFTs really became a thing, permanent storage became a really critical component, because you figure if you're an artist, if you're creating an NFT, now you're saving that on S3 or Cloudflare, and you sell all of your art, and then you stop paying that bill for it. Now you've rugged your users, or they can no longer access that. That's been one of maybe I don't think it's gonna be the biggest use case. I don't know. Brendan, your thoughts on NFTs in general, but yeah. For me, being musician, creative, I really love providing that place for the individual to leverage permanent storage. It goes back to the original mission: getting it into the hands of everyone, getting into the hands of teams and companies is great, but I think it's really something that the individual can use for their creative work, their memories, their documentation, music, to blogs, to photography. I think creators want archives that can't be taken down or rebranded or go away. So that's a big thing for me. And I, we have tens of thousands of individual users leveraging, the platform month over month. Trying to think, maybe the other kind of, really good need, again, maybe going back to the individual, but it's not made for just your files. You can host sites and apps. Right. So decentralized front ends, maybe that's even just looking at Web3. How many times do we see important Web3 front ends getting taken down or people losing access to them? Those can also be stored in a resilient way and accessed through, these hundreds of RIO gateways. So I think there's a really strong need for brands to have permanent sites, pages, not just the data. This is one of the things. Man, it's hard. It can be used for so many things, right? So how do you pick the best one?
You're picking a favorite child, right? No, but this, it really is fascinating. And we love to see blockchain used in so many different ways. Was there anything that we missed here? Maybe any just general thoughts on this space moving forward? We've had an exciting year so far. Hopefully we have an equally as exciting one going into the second half of this year. And
we started the call. It's definitely exciting to see, some of the movements happening now, in the market. I would hope, as being someone who started in 2017, seen different cycles, I hope, this time around, people don't just follow the price. They follow like the principles. I hope we start looking at the utilities that are provided by these different networks beyond just the typical, financial ones. For me, crypto isn't about tokens or charts. I know that those are both really exciting things, but it's about building systems that are better for people, that are fairer, more resilient, user owned, better than what we had before. I hope people keep those things in mind as we get really excited at seeing Bitcoin keep going to new highs and all that stuff. I think if we try to anchor ourselves to, these questions of like, what happens if this protocol disappears, or who's in control, or, what values are being brought into this software, as long as we keep thinking about those questions, then maybe we'll, avoid some of these hype cycles that, in my opinion, don't really help the industry as much. Find, more projects that matter in the long term. Hopefully people keep that in mind as we continue to see things move in the right direction.
Certainly. Well, Phil, we appreciate you coming on here, talking to all the good people out there. Where can people follow not only what you're doing, but what you're doing over at RIO as well?
I mean, you could follow me on X at Vilenarios, VilenarIOS. I think we're at RIO Network, but I think they've got some underscores, like AR_IO_network. Just go to our site, AR.IO as well. There's tons of stuff on there. If you're a dev, docs.AR.IO. Join our Discord. Really, there's so many things you can build, and we would love to hear from you, so please reach out.
Well, thank you so much for coming in here, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brendan. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.